Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I'm your host, Will Coffin. We're back again after a while. Joining me is Justin Maltz. Maltz, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing solid. I would say overall, it's been a pretty quiet offseason. Of course, we'll get into some news, but can't complain. It's the days are getting shorter. It's it's getting darker quicker, which I enjoy the turn in the weather. I'm a big fan of the fall season. I'm a little too crazed with the pumpkin spice, but maybe am I wrong for liking it?
I'm not the take segment, but
this is never
been my thing personally.
It's fair, but the Starbucks pumpkin cold brew, not even an ad, not
really?
Even an ad. Tremendous, love okay. It there's just something about it.
I don't know, I don't really, so I only whatever, well, who cares? It's I know Sixers Mania podcast, but we'll talk about the important stuff first.
I love it.
I've probably mentioned this several times. I am a black coffee guy. I don't really tend to go out. So that's something I would legit never try.
That's fair.
I'll occasionally go with something, whatever, very rarely. I've probably had once in the past 4 years had coffee with anything in it.
So. But overall, love the fall. I love the change in weather. And of course, you got more sports going on, which, beautfully transitions us into Sixers basketball.
Into the sport that's not going on.
Well, not yet. Will happen.
Right. It will. But still, people care about the Eagles and everything else a little bit more.
Phil's
shaping into the playoffs.
Oberge.
What's funny is a little inside. I don't know if this was your plan. I was talking about before inside the podcast right here. Will Coffin. I told you to ramble about something so I could cook up some Buddy Hield trades because I just got home and news happened. We'll get to that later, of course.
Yep.
Did not know if that's where you were going with the whole pumpkin thing, but we can keep going. I will say one of your opinions that I actually sort of agree with is pumpkin beer is actually pretty good, which sounds like gross to me at first, but mildly enjoyable. I'm not really a beer guy either, but
let me just say with the pumpkin beer, which is phenomenal, shout out Samuel Adams, they make a fantastic pumpkin beer, and they have a lot of the good craft beer ones. I've had multiple different Samuel Adams, and there's Victory, which is a local brewery that I think a lot of people know about, but the Sam Adams, there's just the pumpkin beer. Now,
is Victory a Philly thing? Is this something I don't?
It's local. Victory is in the it's in the suburbs, Chester County. Actually, not far from Westchester. But there's a bunch out here. But the pumpkin beer, there's something about it, man. And you can only have a few of them. That's the thing with pumpkin beers. You really can't have a lot of them because you start to kind of feel a little bit, I don't want to say queasy, but they're heavy. Heavy beers. It's not a real drink. If you want to go all night with the drinks, not a pumpkin beer. It's more of a starter kit, if you shall.
Starter kit. All right. I like it. All right. So let's talk about the Sixers, even though
I forgot about that.
The segment.
Sorry.
It's the most topical news. I don't know how major. It actually could be pretty major. The Sixers finally have a fucking wing on the team.
Took
me a few minutes to get the first F-bomb, but it just voices my frustration overall with the team. They signed Kelly Oubre to a minimum deal. Kelly Oubre, it was puzzling to a lot of people that he was a free agent this long, including myself, though I can see the reasons why, but he just made too much sense for the Sixers. I'll get into how good he is. I don't want to give away the opening, but I'll just let you go and then we can, I'll respond.
I don't know a ton about, I know Kelly Oubre, and I don't know a ton about his game. I've seen him play, and he's been on a number of teams. Like you said, we needed wing depth, and I think this is a great signing. And
depth, we needed a starter.
Was it a starter? And he might start.
Why I said it might be a pretty.
It could be
pretty consequential. The roster still kind of in flux just with James Harden. Anyway, go on.
I love the move. You get a guy that obviously he averaged 20 points per game last season, and I think that's the stat a lot of people are pointing to, and only played 48 games. But, I think it's a great pickup considering, honestly, I was shocked by the move because I did not know he was a free agent. Kelly Oubre was a name I didn't even think about until it got announced by Woj or whoever tweeted out first. But, I can't sit up here and say I don't like the move because they gave him what the minimum. So there's no risk, really. You need a guy like this, and it's a great addition. It's literally just straight up adding to your team. So I don't see any downside to it at all, at least at this point.
Yeah, I forget who they can waive and whatnot because the rosters are a little weirder than it, but I believe they're over the limit, so they're gonna waive some people. I don't know how it affects the cap. Like, I don't know if waiving Trez because he's not gonna play. I don't know if we get an exception where he doesn't like count on the roster. Or what the deal is? I'm sorry, audience. I'm letting you down. But we also signed Danny Green, who we'll talk about in a second. Interesting who they're going to cut. I think Oubre is going to make the team. I would be pretty stunned if he didn't, because honestly, I could see him
Oh, he's
starting.
making the team.
He's a bit of I think I would describe a lot of basketball players like him to be loser players, where it's just like they are consistently on losing organizations, and every team seems to get better once he leaves. However,
I did see that stat.
right. Well, it's not just that. Like, he's probably the worst passer in the NBA, and he's going to a team that's not particularly strong at passing. So I know it's going to lead to frustrating basketball, but that's not all his fault. That's on a lot of the other guys too. So if Harden's not there, like, it's going to look, which I don't think he will be. I believe Harden when he's not going to show up. But if Harden's not there, considering Maxey's not a natural point guard, I don't know what they're gonna do. Is the short of it? What is it? Mac. If Harden's not there, is it Maxey, Melton, Oubre, PJ? Well, no, because you gotta have
Yeah,
Tobias in
I don't
there.
know. What do they
Yeah,
get in return for
I
Harden,
don't
though?
know.
Like, what are we giving up to get rid of Harden? I mean, that depends what we get back
Yeah, but
as
if
well.
Harden's not there and we just don't have a trade in place, that's kind of the scenario I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah, maybe he'll.
I don't know. I guess I still could see a world in which he starts, just if we're benching PJ Tucker, I guess. So of course he averaged 20 points last year. He can be a good defender, but he's usually not. He is an athletic guy, so that's the one thing. He can dunk a basketball, so at least for entertainment purposes, I think it speaks to the bar that has been lowered when it comes to the Sixers. I think in the past, I don't know if I'd be against this move, but like, the Sixers really aren't a serious team, if I'm being honest. Not to channel a Logan Royism there, they're just not a serious team. It's, maybe they can turn into one once they get rid of Harden, but I don't know. Add some excitement to the team. He hypothetically fits a need. I'll start with another positive too. It sounds like I'm pretty low on the signing. I actually think it's a fantastic signing. There was no one of this
There we
caliber
go.
on this on this of that need on this team. It's kind of like the small forward equivalent of Christian Wood, if I had to give a comparison. Christian Wood, of course, obviously went a long time without getting signed until he ended up going to the Lakers. Oubre is kind of the small forward. We need a wing. I think it's a perfect fit. He's kind of also another positive. He's kind of this is kind of more so a Ben Dietrich line. So, but he always has pointed out how Embiid needs brain dead chuckers around him, and Oubre is that. Averaged 7.1 threes per game last year. Year before, 7.3. So he'll take those threes, and that's been a source of frustration for me personally, with everyone else on the team. Also, not bad for the fact that he's not like an extremely high usage guy. Gets the line 4.3 times a game. Not terrible by any means. Of course, like I said, averaged 20 points last year. He's athletic. He also went to Kansas. I don't know if him and Embiid have any sort of kinship, but considering I want to make Embiid happy because I don't want him to request a trade. Because he's the only, him and Maxey are the only enjoyable parts. I like that part of it. And most importantly, Amaltz, I'll, get your opinion on this. He's a hot guy.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm
I
just
was gonna
kidding.
say, come on, like,
I
it's
mean,
Kelly
listen, it's a great move from the front office from a ticket sales perspective, because they are
Oubre.
going to sell out now. I mean, that is one thing.
I
Not
mean,
only is he athletic on the court, which is just surprising for any Sixers player at this point, like you said, but yeah, I mean, the looks are going to draw some people,
oh
and
my
the female
God.
audience, I think, is, I mean, the female gaze, they call it. But wow,
Oh.
they're going to bring in tickets. So yeah,
Right,
but I
the
like
real
them.
reason to
On a
sign.
serious note, yes. On a
Yeah, right.
serious note, I definitely like the move. Like you said, I mean, it's something that for a league minimum, it's a no-brainer to have this guy on your team. And yes, we've talked about it before. He attempts threes, a lot of them, which we need around Joel, because there's guys that just are hesitant to pull, and that's the last thing that we need. I mean, it's great to have spacing and, brings a little bit of athleticism, which we haven't had that look at all. That feels like the past couple seasons. I mean, so it's just it's a great pickup, and I don't know. It should only benefit the team. I don't really see a downside. Yeah, yeah,
that's what I'm saying with it being a minimum.
Get a star. Yeah, I mean, you didn't get a superstar here, of course, but for a league minimum, I mean, this is like check mark. Thank you. A plus, move on. And that's pretty much that's this move. That's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know who they're going to waive. They've got quite a bit of people. We also signed David Duke to, I believe, an Exhibit 10 deal. Not that really matters, but yeah, I just thought of that. That's David Duke Jr. I got to really clarify that one.
You're in the junior match.
If you don't know who David Duke is, just don't worry.
As Miss Anali would say, Google me.
Yeah. Take to Google. David Duke Jr. Not related to David Duke. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know who they're going to cut. It's not like it affects their wing depth. I think you're looking at maybe Daniel House, Danny Green, who they didn't give a guaranteed contract to. However, I think I would prefer Danny Green. At the very least, really? The locker room always over House.
I guess. I mean, can Danny Green move?
He can't
though?
Move. He can't move. But
I
he
mean,
can shoot.
Like, I honestly, there was a moment there where I saw Danny Green's name pop up and I forgot he was in the league. I know he was on the Cavs last season, I believe. But my God, did he.
He played 11 games last year.
Oh, I mean, like, honestly, I
in those 11 games, shot 43% from three.
Ah, oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I know Green is a better fit, not doubting that 100%. But, like, House, at least House is available. He's not 300 years old. There's just, I don't know.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but once again, I'm talking about like the 15th man of the team. You know?
You know, I've seen the Sixers season. They'll play sometimes, especially Nick Nurse.
I don't know. Nick Nurse has pretty short rotations.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying I have a definitive stance, by the way. I'm like,
the greenhouse thing I could debate.
I think I marginally prefer Danny Green.
Okay.
What about Korkmaz? I mean,
oh my God! Oh, he might
say what you want. I think I'd rather have Korkmaz.
I would too. We need a guy that could chuck, and at least Korkmaz can still move. Not good.
It goes to my ethos of brain dead chuckers. Of get him, get Oubre out there, get Maxi out there. Just take a ton of threes, and then have Joel just do everything else. I don't know. Yeah. Not as I cut Jaden Springer, who's still a high school player. Anyway, I have to get that one in there.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up on. Kelly Oubre and Danny Green. I mean, we basically just talked about every single wing on the Sixers because Tobias is a four, PJ is a four. Everyone's either a guard or a four. Or a center, of course, because, you know, Embiid, Bamba, Montrez.
Forget about Bamba. Love
Bill
the Bamba.
Petrusev. Center,
yep. Yeah, anyway. Oh yeah, Philip.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Not really. It's not going to be a massive deal one way or the other, but let's transition to the next topic. So a little bit more substantial, it's not necessarily Sixers news, but Buddy Hield hits the trade block today, as reported by Shams. They were not able to get a contract extension. Buddy Hield, I feel like, has been linked to the Sixers for a decade straight, it seems like, even though he hasn't even been in the league for 10 years, I don't think, because he was 2015. Look at that. Anyway,
it feels like a decade.
Yeah, he's also old as shit because he was like 23 when he came out. Me age shaming 23-year-olds. Anyway.
How dare you.
he makes about $19 million, which means the Sixers basically would have to either do like a PJ Tucker and, you know, if they're looking to consolidate, PJ Tucker and Korkmaz. I don't know, maybe they, and, you know, picks whatever second rounders if they have any, if they think that's worthwhile. That's one option. I like PJ a lot, so I would prefer a different option. The option I've always theorized, and this would involve waiving some players, because you'd have to get a few guys stacked in there, is if you do, if you trade them Tobias for, I said that like Kate Scott, where you really, whatever. Trade him Tobias, and then you also take on Daniel Theis and TJ McConnell. You give him Tobias. What that does for the Pacers is they shed some salary because TJ and Daniel Theis make more money the following year. Their contracts are 2 years long. They take Tobias as expiring. Maybe they could flip him in the offseason. We get Buddy Hield, who I think would be much more useful because he would just chuck a bunch of threes. What would you... we've mentioned that proposal earlier in the offseason, but what do you think of that now that Hield is on the trade block and the Sixers have added some players and whatever, you know, Harden's...
I mean, we've gone back to it before with Tobias, and I mean, every season it comes down to fit. I think a big question mark is obviously what they're going to do with Harden, and that affects a lot of the rest of the team, of course. So that's a big question mark. But I mean, how it stands right now, I would consider trading Tobias. I mean, at this point, to get a guy like Buddy Hield that, like you said, chucks threes and obviously can hit him at a high percentage. I mean, that's a guy I like on my team. We haven't had a knockdown three shooter since Redick, to be honest. I mean, we had Seth Curry at times and he was fine in spurts. But
Seth was knocked down, but he wasn't high volume as much as people.
And it wasn't as much like it was definitely some off the dribble stuff, which is fine. But like we really, I think Hield would be a perfect fit because I've watched games where it's not like, oh my God, we're not talented enough. It's like, no, we just have guys that like don't mesh. You have to kind of weigh the talent versus fit thing. And yes, you have Embiid, who's a top five player in the league every season. And you have Harden, which might not be on the team. So that's a big question mark. But outside of that, I mean, it comes down to fit and who can you build around you're obviously your franchise guy in Joel. And I mean, we've said it before, shooting. And if you can acquire a guy that's a top shooter in the league, he just is, and especially in a winning place like Philly, I'm not saying we go far, but they get wins. They're passionate fans. So at least, recently they'll still get a good amount of wins. So that's a guy I think that you can bring in, not to use the Brett Brown line, but the culture, I think it will help than the spirit. So I think it'll help the spirit of the team.
Yeah. What would you prefer, the PJ and Korkmazin picks or Tobias for Hield, McConnell, and Tice, the PJ and picks, of course, just being for Hield straight up?
I don't know. I think the Tobias one intrigue. I would do the Tobias one.
Yeah,
I think me too. Tucker's a better fit.
Yeah, I agree. The thing with Tucker, though, is we don't know how he feels about the Harden situation if he's also sort of like out.
That's a very true point. That is because they are connected like that. So, it's a very true point. Yeah.
Right. Also, with that, if you trade Tobias, this sounds crazy because I think you would have to waive Daniel Tice. Or maybe you keep Tice and you waive Bamba.
Yeah, if you waive Tice, you waive Tice. We got Bamba, another guy.
Yeah, right. I don't know what you do. But I actually think TJ McConnell would play because of a lack of passing on this team, which is just wild.
Fucking
to me.
Great. I would love to have TJ back. I would love to have TJ back.
I know every Philadelphian would.
Yeah. It's a spirit of me.
It would make Joel happy, potentially. But not to say that he hates Tobias. It's just that I know TJ was kind of his guy when he was here. I mean, it's not necessarily Sixers news. Who knows if that fits Daryl Morey's, whatever. It doesn't seem like Daryl's doing anything anyway, so... probably not going to happen, but he is on the trade market. I don't know what offers Indiana is going to be looking for or what they're even going to be getting. They're kind of in a weird situation because Haliburton is very good. The rest of the team is very bad. So I know they just took Jairus Walker, but we'll see.
I'm not sure if you heard about this, but I heard that, I don't know, with the whole Oubre move, that there was some, beef between him and Harden, or there was something there in the past.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was directly between him and Harden. There was, I was watching a video, I think it was by Crossing Broad, which they're like a pretty big page. There was something, I forget the exact thing, but apparently there's something with those two that they don't like each other. So
good. I like Oubre better. I regret what I said about being negative.
Yeah. Apparently it might, I don't know. We'll see what happens with the trade situation. I mean, I think at some point Harden's going to be obviously bye-bye and they're going to have to do something, but I don't know. Hopefully.
Yeah. I don't know. I just looked up a quick Google search of Kelly Oubre Harden. I don't see a ton, but,
I'll refer back next pod.
Unless his cousin's like feeding you guys stuff.
Well, yeah. We have insider trading right now.
Kelly Oubre's cousin, I believe, was commenting on Sixers Mania posts, correct?
He was. Yeah, he was on Sixers Mania. And then follow my personals. Yeah, right. So we're bros now. It's awesome. Yeah, he's a fan. He's dire.
Get his cousin on the pod, honestly. We'll talk
at
about
this
Kelly.
Point, we might as well, for real.
Yeah. Anyway, just hilarious in of itself. All right, so this we're going to talk about one that happened a while ago. We're really just motoring through the topics because I think that's pretty much it on Hield. I think we would both be for it. And Hield, he's a volume high 3-point shooter. I feel like I didn't give a ton of my thoughts on it. I would like it. It's just, once again, it's going to come down to the passing on this team and what we get for Harden. So almost none of this other shit matters. We're not a serious team until we deal with that. So, get to work, Daryl. A potential solution... Not really, but it's funny to talk about. Made headlines a few. We didn't do a podcast on it. I'm kind of glad we didn't, just because of the Oubre and the actual concrete news happened. But Ben Simmons made some. Ben Simmons, who we liked a lot more than most people, but obviously have our thoughts on him. He made some comments. If he requested a trade, it would be to Philly again. And, you know, he definitely didn't seem apologetic for sure. I mean, he seemed like he's the same guy, which doesn't make me very hopeful to how he'll play, because it looks like he also is very adamant that he's a point guard again, which is, you know, kind of
love it.
Fuck off.
Thank God, Ben Simmons.
I don't want to talk about this debate, but, you know, guy refuses to adapt and help out, whatever. Anyway, those comments, what did you think? I'm not going to do the whole thing, but just the more apologetic. I'm not saying, well, obviously we're not going to trade for, it's not happening. However, the idea of a Harden for Simmons trade actually makes sense. I mean, like, it's crazy to say, but we need a playmaker, we need a wing, we need defense, and Ben has all those things. I know he's here again. We know what it looks like, but I mean, hypothetically, I would do it, but it's not going to happen, and it's not a great option.
If he's 100%, I would do it. I mean, it's better than, hey, Harden on the bench or Simmons at least maybe playing. I mean, at 95%, 100%, awesome.
Maybe cool. playing. I mean, honestly, I don't know who's going to play more games next year.
Yeah, really, he would never come back. I mean, he would get absolutely destroyed here mentally. But, you know, it's how it is. But yeah, the comments are very interesting. I think if
he did get traded here, he would play here. I don't think it's going well in Brooklyn either. And why would he say, I would request a trade to Philly?
I don't think it's not mentally, though. I mean, we know how he is mentally, and I mean, he didn't handle it well on his way out.
I
mean, Philly fans are tough.
He's not handling Brooklyn well, though. Like,
not handling Brooklyn,
he's handling both Brooklyn, terribly.
They're not yelling at him, but I mean,
no, they are. They booed him quicker than we did. I won't stand for the slander.
Okay,
that's like
but if he
media
came, my point is, if he came back to Philly,
we would cheer for him. Some of us,
we might. Some would cheer, some would not say anything, and then a good amount would boo. Dude,
Philly fans are the thirstiest things. He'd come back, say, I learned a lot, and I'm ready to go. I'm going to be an all-star point guard again. I had my best years here, and Philly fans would show up with his fucking jersey on day one.
If he said that, sure, but he ain't going to say, man, he's going to be back.
He would. Be like, I'm ready to be our starting point guard again and the star of this team. And then Joel would be like, what the fuck are we doing?
And then Joel would be like, I'm going to come. Yeah, I know. So I don't know. It's tough. But like, at the end of the day, the comments that he said were still questionable.
Questionable.
Like, I just love how he's like, yeah, like I'd love to. It's like, bro, what?
Well, yeah,
like, 2 years ago, you were
the
like
team you were refusing to play for. That's your number one destination.
All of a sudden, this is my destination. Come on, man. Come on. You're better than that. Really? You can't pick one other team? So I don't know what it is. Maybe he still has ownership here. He has an apartment. I don't know what's going on. He's got family in Philly, probably
residence.
Yeah, Ritz-Carlton. I have no clue. But for some reason, he likes it here all of a sudden. Which, you know what? Maybe he's bipolar. I don't know.
He did like it here. He was good here at a time. Like he hasn't been good anywhere else. LSU didn't like him. Like you know, his high school. Like sure, but you know.
Yeah,
there was being a national star.
That's the thing between the whole personal side of it and the actual basketball side. And obviously, there's a huge difference there. And Simmons tends to mix both together, and that gets involved. And you have relationships on the team, and a lot of it is the actual human aspect of the team where that can kind of affect, you know, just him coming back. I think, like you said, I'd like it from a basketball perspective. I think it makes sense logically. How would he mesh the team? I don't know. Would Joel even want that?
No, Joel wouldn't, and that's why it's not going to happen.
So there you go. But like, his comments are confusing too, though. It just doesn't make sense because he wanted out. It's not like we're like, sure.
Harden wants out, though. That, like, hypothetically.
And we loved Harden. I mean, the fans cheered him, and they didn't hate him.
I don't know what the offer for Harden is right now. I mean, I know there's the report that, like, the Clippers and the Sixers aren't talking, whatever. But for this year, I mean, I know you could flip, like, if the Clippers are offering you, like, one or two first-round picks, which you probably just do at that point, you can flip those for something better than Ben Simmons, probably. Because Ben Simmons might be the worst contract in the league. However, in terms of being a useful player for this year, Ben Simmons, I think, would be better, A, than James Harden, B, maybe any player that they acquire for James Harden. I don't know.
We're bottom line. Yeah, I would love the James Harden domino is number one that has to fall at some point.
Okay,
that's number one.
We're not even going to talk about it. I can't stand that guy.
No, I mean,
I made it pretty clear. Fuck off. I mean,
I mean, there's nothing else we can do at this point. I mean, like, but I can't even think, because he affects every other part of the team. Like,
right.
I can't
we literally did this on the podcast 2 years ago, and I was having it with fucking Simmons, where
yeah.
I was having issues talking about anything, because every week it was like, what are we going to do with Simmons? What are we going to do with Simmons? He's coming back.
Because it's just every aspect. Like, oh, I want to make this move, or I want to have this guy or this wing. Well, he's a good pick, but Harden. Oh, well, I want to sign that. But so there's so many
right. because,
aspects
like,
that he affects. I mean,
if we don't have Harden, we need a playmaker for sure.
Yeah, they need a guy that can dribble.
Right. I mean, Maxi can dribble. He just can't.
Maxi can dribble. That's amazing.
Yeah, he doesn't have a crazy bat, even though he's been working with that's other news, I guess. The news just keeps flowing as
oh, here we go.
He's working with Drew Hamlin now. I'm sure you saw that. I think he's made some sort of
superstar
headline.
Trainer.
Well, say what you want about Drew Hamlin. The only guy who hasn't worked out under him is pretty much Fultz.
No, I love Drew Hamlin. I love how all the NBA guys know like two trainers. Like, you wouldn't know any of the Drew Hamlin, Chris Johnson, who else?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, didn't like Rocco work with like Lethal Shooter or something like that? And then
yeah, but like it's just funny how like there's
no there was there was like, another guy too. Who was the guy that like trained like Dwayne Wade and Michael Jordan? I'm forgetting him, but that's like the other trainer that everyone gets. But I mean,
yeah,
but Drew Hamlin's guys, like, I feel like they go like Embiid, for instance. Just I mean,
yeah.
Embiid was a supremely talented prospect, and I had a lot of faith in him. However, he developed like a Kobe game that I didn't expect out of Embiid, and he became more prolific scorer. Jason Tatum looked like Tobias Harris in college, and now he's once again got that Kobe sort of game to him. Bradley Beal was more of like a Ray Allen spot up type and became more of like a ball handler, go to scorer. Like, I don't know, every guy that goes to Drew Hamlin becomes a better shot creator. Maxie was already a good shot creator, so I don't know how much he develops there, but I'm just saying they've all gotten better. It seems like now maybe that's just natural development, but I don't know. Like, Embiid swears by I all the guys seem to swear by him, honestly. So.
Hey, if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I love it.
Yeah, no, just hope he can pass. I whatever.
Yeah.
Once again, none of this matters until we trade Harden. So, not to spoil the entire podcast. Thank you for listening so far, by the way, audience. But that is the sad truth. I mean, I don't know. I think we can. You know, I think we can actually do this in one part. I think I'm ready for takes. Unless you have anything else to this. Actually, I do have one more. The takes. I don't know. Did you see the Nick Nurse comment about he wants to play Embiid more minutes than he did last year?
Yes. Yes. Yep. Love it.
Thoughts briefly, I guess.
Good. Good.
Do you think it just gets him in better condition, or does it make him more prone to being injured?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could see both arguments.
No,
honestly.
Better condition.
Okay.
Better condition. You need to get reps. You need to get reps. If you're sitting on your ass all day, and I know training and this and that is great, but you need, and everyone said it, players swear by, there's nothing like the actual in-game speed. There's nothing like it. You can train all
basketball's
day
great
and 5-5 in practice. It's great cardio, but there's nothing like that in-game speed and play, and that's how you get better, is by playing real, meaningful basketball. And I think having Joel Embiid out there for, you know, 60-plus games a season, that, you know, obviously didn't
but also more minutes.
At least. More minutes, good.
Okay, that's fine. I just think a lot of people could point to, like, that's maybe why he got injured last year and previous years, because he's playing more
minutes. And I trust Nick Nurse, too. That's the one thing, too. I think
I do
more
trust
faith.
Nick Nurse
I do.
If Doc Rivers said this, I'd be against it. I'll say it.
It hesitate. But, like, Nick Nurse, I feel like he just knows what he's doing. It's not about the glasses.
I agree.
It's just something about the glasses. But, like,
I know. People thought it was way smarter than I wore glasses.
And also training camp, I think, or at least they're in Denver, Colorado, I believe. I think they're training there.
Wasn't sure about that. Seems kind of wild to me. But he's going to be sucking air.
I mean, the altitude and this and that. But, hey, maybe get him in shape.
I'm not
more,
like fat shaming
so
Embiid, by the
choosing.
Way. This is, I mean,
Embiid's
his
in phenomenal shape where he was. And he still is in good shape.
I think he's always in better shape than people give him credit for. Harden, however, has always been a fat slob. Anyway, not that he's going to be there. I mean, I think it's an interesting decision by Nurse. I think people have too much definitive one way or the other, which is maybe the most bland take of all time. Like, it might be right.
Is that your
take? It might be wrong. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but, like, I think there's too many people being like, oh, he plays more, he's going to get injured. And, like, we have seen that. Like, Derrick Rose lost his career because he played a ton of minutes. However, some of these guys just play a lot of minutes and they're fine. I don't know where Embiid is. You can argue that we know where he is because he has been injured a lot. But
Go
on. No,
I was just, I mean, the bottom line is, like, you're you got to play. Like, you got like you're yeah, sure, you can get injured, but you can get injured at any moment. So
and I could argue playing more basketball, you'd be in better shape, and he
correct. But I'm saying you get injured any moment. Like, you get injured game seven of the finals. You get injured game one of the season. It doesn't matter. So like that's the point is yeah, the reps are great and it keeps you in shape and you know the plays and you just have more repetitions. It's going to make you a better player. And I think Nick Nurse understands that. And like you said, yeah, it'll keep him in shape more. But I think it's a no brainer to have him play more minutes. And of course, we'll monitor it. They're not going to kill him, but great. Get him up to shape. Get him in speed. Let's go. I love it. I love it.
I mean, I think it's fair. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it actually goes. Nick Nurse is known for playing very short rotations and playing guys a lot of minutes. And maybe it wears players down. Maybe he's just going to end up being Tom Thibodeau 2.0. We'll see. I think he's a lot smarter than that. I do like how he runs schematics. A lot of it's personnel driven. That's also another reason I think Oubre could be a lot better, because he's that type of player that works under Nick Nurse, the athletic long.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a defender, but maybe he could turn him into one. I have no idea. I do have a lot of faith in Nick Nurse.
He's got the athleticism. Yep.
Right. None of this matters though, because Sixers aren't a serious team. Anyway, Moss, you have a take, and you don't have to make it quick.
This is fighting against time,
but it's fine.
I can think multiple takes, but this take is not. This is more of a personal take. Well, I guess that really doesn't make sense. It's either to every take would be personal. It's my opinion, but I think. How do I word this take? It's a food take. It's a food take. So I'm dragging this along. No, I'm just kidding. I think black olives, which I love deeply, which, oh yeah.
For those,
I think it's,
you know, I made a face on the Zoom video. So
Maltz, he did. You can't see it. Yes. But the black olives are, I don't even know how to categorize it. I don't want, cause it's, is it a top? I don't know how to, what would you like that? Is that a side dish? What is that? It's in that like, pickle realm. Like, what's a pickle?
Yeah,
that's not like a side.
Like,
yeah, it's a top three accompaniment. I mean, I love black olives. There's just something about them. I'm a big olive guy in general. So
I find them disgusting, but like, I also think that's just one of those people find it amazing or not. Like, I think you're just confirming what people think of black olives. I don't think there's anyone that's like, black olives, they're all right. Yeah. I find them black.
Yeah, no one's like in between. I guess that's true. And then my other take is fried pickles are the best appetizer. It's top two, actually. I can think of nachos are up there. Appetizer-wise. Like,
interesting.
You're going
probably
bar,
not two
like,
appetizers. I would really order that.
Fried pickles, if they're done right, they are a... I know I keep going down. Well, there's so many appetizers now that are popping in my head. But all right, top three, and that's set in stone. I'm not going lower. Top three appetizer, fried pickles. You can't tell me otherwise. If they're done...
I think it depends on how they do them. I don't like the fried pickle spears as much, I guess, because it's more pickle than...
Yes, the chips. Sorry, the chips.
Yeah, I think fried pickle chips are incredible. They're so much better than...
Yes. And the dipping sauce, if the dipping sauce is right, oh, forget about it. Forget about a little gabagool on the side. What was it?
Oh, my God. I'm not on. Yeah, I think that's actually the better of your takes, to be honest. Because there are a lot of good appetizers. I've become more of an appetizer man myself. I recently went to the field in State College. I'll shout it out.
Okay.
Recently went there, got the fried pickle spears. They were by far the worst thing we ordered, and I do tend to like fried pickles. We got a giant pretzel that was amazing. We had their fries there are kind of elite, so that's kind of unfair to usually I think I'd prefer a fried pickle to fries, but right there they do them well.
And, yeah, I would agree.
We did something else that I'm now forgetting. So. But all of them were better. And anyway, so I just wanted to give my brief aside on fried pickles.
No,
but,
it's a good point.
But otherwise, I agree with you. That they're very elite. Maybe not. I wouldn't put that high of a number on them. I don't know if I did. I might have done this one before, so I'll make it quick.
Let's hear it.
I think I've talked to you about, or you know, group chat. I say a lot of things.
he does.
Basically. All I want to say is, like, man, this is going to make me sound whatever. Anyway.
Say it.
Running backs need to shut the fuck up. We're seeing it play out in the NFL season. These guys bitch for money, which, like, I agree you should be getting paid what you're worth. However, it has been proven that paying running backs is a bad idea. And I do think we've gone too far. Sometimes, like, this season, Cole Kmet got paid more than Saquon Barkley. I would rather pay Saquon Barkley than Cole Kmet. However, look at Saquon this year. He's injured already. The Giants are 1-1. They barely beat the Cardinals. They need an offensive line to make Saquon good. Saquon hasn't really been that impressive. Paying running backs is a bad idea. It's not the organization's fault that you play a terrible position. When you're in high school, maybe you should have thought about that. Maybe middle school, you should have been like, oh, maybe I should try to be a wide receiver. Round out that skill set. Maybe I should learn to play the defensive side of the ball. Because playing running back is a bad idea. You should not do it. And I don't think star running backs are going to go away. I also think it's one of the easier things to play in the NFL. All you have to do is just be an incredible athlete. You don't need to know how to catch necessarily. There's guys like Derrick Henry. He's just big, strong, and fast. He's not necessarily quick. He's just a specimen. And it is an extremely easy position to play. That's why they're so replaceable. We see guys Kareem Hunt just got signed today. He's probably going to be very solid. I mean, unless you're the Minnesota Vikings who have they traded for Cam Akers today, but Alexander Mattison is god awful. And you know, there's definitely exceptions, but there's a reason they're replaceable. It's not that hard to play running back relatively if you're a freak athlete. It's one requirement, and you don't need to be necessarily tall. We've seen 5'8" guys dominate the position. We've seen Derrick Henry's like what, 6'4"? Like you can be whatever. You just need to be an awesome athlete. And they need to shut the fuck up about that. Not getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, it's a harsh way to put it, but I understand it's a take, and it's not completely wrong at all, actually. I definitely agree with you that the fact that, yes, it's not a – I don't want to say – I mean, it's NFL, so it's every position is top of the game.
You're doing an incredible job. You're also making life-changing money, and, like, I don't want to do this whole thing. Like, it is crazy that, like, Daniel Tice is making, like, you know, Saquon Barkley money.
I mean, bottom line is I agree. It all comes down to the offense. I mean, if your offensive line is good, then the running back is going to have way more success. And yes, I mean, like the Eagles built it, not to toot their own home, but I mean,
the Eagles built the right way. And look at them. That is actually, you know,
they got great point. Correct.
Like, you know, they have Rashad Penny. They traded like a very minimal pick for DeAndre Swift, and they have Kenneth Gainwell. And week one, Kenneth Gainwell is the leading rusher.
Yep. Like week two, Swift, 170 yards.
Yeah. Who I know Swift was taken relatively. Anyway, we really got to wrap this up. Maltz, they can find you. Pro Sports Fanatics. I'm going to speak for you because I want to fucking rattle this
PSF
up.
PSF and 63, man. Yep.
Sounds good. You can find me at Will Coffer on all social media platforms. Thank you for listening. Until next time.